Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Nandini. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Nandini Bajpai, and I'm the author of A Match Made in Mendi, which is a young adult contemporary novel. It came out in 2019. And my new book, Sister of the Bollywood Bride, is coming out on 25th of May. And it is also a young adult contemporary novel. I've had a few other books published in India that have been in the middle grade and the young adult area. I grew up in India and went to school and college there. And then I moved to Australia. And half my family lives in Australia. And then I moved here when I met my husband, who's from the Boston area. And I've lived in the Boston area now for over 20 years. So that's me.
Oh my gosh, you had a worldly life. I love this. What part of Australia is your family from?
So I lived in Melbourne most of the time I was there, but most of my family has since moved to Brisbane. So I go visit every year, every other year. Now, of course, no one can go, but most of my family is in Brisbane now.
Oh, that's so nice. And what part of India is your family? Or where do you grow up with?
So I grew up in Delhi, New Delhi. So my family is Rajput. We are from the state of Rajasthan. And but my father was in the Indian military. So we traveled all over the country. And, you know, but my schooling was all in Delhi. So I'm a Delhiite.
I love this. Yeah, I wanted to go to, there's a lot of places I want to travel. India and Australia are two of those places I want to travel to. They're on my list. And, you know, hopefully in a few years that could be a possibility, you know, so. And I'll be asking you for suggestions.
Definitely ask away. I'm happy to, you know, share it.
I love this. So let's chat about, like, you write YA books. You have written clinical grade YA, and so were you a reader of that age group, or what brought you to write YA books, you know?
Well, I loved reading all kinds of genres when I was growing up, and there wasn't that much YA available in India, but I did read, historical novels that were, I mean, I don't know if you can call Jane Austen historical, but it was about young girls, right? So I didn't read much YA until I moved to the US, and I really, really enjoyed it. But when I first started writing, I was writing middle grade, and I was writing a fantasy and historicals, not contemporary YA. And how I got into it was Scholastic India had asked me to submit some YA manuscripts, and I sent them my historicals, and they're like, no, we need a contemporary story. So I sent them 5 chapters of the book that would become my debut novel, and they really loved it, and they bought it on a partial, and that's how I ended up writing contemporary. And once I started, I really enjoyed it.
What was the process of, like, transitioning from writing in India, Scholastic India, to writing in the US, which I know, like, the publishing process completely different, you know? Yeah. There's agents, there's others, there's a lot of gatekeepers, you know?
So, you know, when I started writing, I did get an agent here for a young adult historical that I had finished writing. And that was my book that I got an agent for here, and it went out on submission. Sadly, it didn't have much luck. This is before We Need a Verse Books. We were submitting it out in, 2012. And there weren't a lot of takers, but then it got interest in India directly. So you don't need agents in when you're submitting to publishers in India. So I could go to them directly, and they picked it up and they loved it, and they published that book and another book and another book. And then I started getting interest back in the US because We Need Diverse Books, you know, happened in 2014. I'd published two of my books in India in 2013, so a year before We Need Diverse Books. So it's just the timing. If I had waited, maybe they would have been picked up here. But at the time, I didn't have an agent. And I ended up publishing my first book in the US with a book packager. You know, I still didn't have an agent until last year. So I've been through every roadblock you can possibly imagine in the publishing process. I didn't have the rights back to this book because had it published in India. I had to wait to get it back. And then my editor here bought it. So it was great in the end. It ended up being fine, but it was a journey.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can imagine. I think I talk to authors about the journey and it's like, it's not linear. It's not like this, like everything falls into place. It's like there's roadblocks, there's challenges, there's pivots, there's different places.
Yeah.
There's different opportunities or things that you have to wait. There's plenty of writing that happens, you know. Yeah.
But if you're writing and you're running into problems, you know, just know you're not the only person. It happens to literally everyone. It doesn't, it's not a reflection on the quality of your writing. It's not a reflection on where you can be. And, you know, persistence, I guess, is the name of the game.
I love this. And what do you love about writing YA? Like, is it the first times are like what's inspiring, the whole trying to figure out who you are, the identity?
All of that is so, you know, it's such a wonderful age group to write for because, you know, people are finding themselves, people are at the very, you know, threshold of the rest of their life and everything just feels so raw and real and, you know, it's a very interesting age group to write for. And also, you know, as a reader, when young people are reading, when you read at that age, things just, you know, it just makes a impact on you. So when I was reading, when I was a teenager, I remember those books so, so clearly in my mind that things that I've read later on in life don't have that same impact. So it's a really good age group to be writing for, and especially when you're writing about a culture that, you know, most of my readers are new to. It's really nice to introduce them to, you know, that world that they don't know, and then, you know, they'll have it for the rest of their life. They'll have that connection, they'll feel that empathy with these characters that, you know, come from a background that may not be like theirs.
And so what has been the process of writing during the pandemic? Has it been any easier, any harder? Has it been any challenges or just been productive or just a little
bit? No, none of those things, because you know what it's been like? It's just such a weird, weird time. None of us could have imagined it. If we had written this into a book, people would say this is not realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like dystopia. But I think everybody's timelines, if you had a book under contract or editing, everything got changed around, the timeline shifted. And all of us had to deal with being in lockdown in a house and everybody, no one's leaving. Like for a writer, you need solitude, you need quiet time, you need to be able to stare at a wall and just daydream. And you can't do that when you have conference calls in every room in the house. You know, my husband's got conference calls. My kids are having classes online. Everybody is talking at the same time. So it was harder to write. You know, honestly, it was harder to write. But when I had deadlines, I had to push through. And so you do go ahead and do it.
Yeah. I think that's like, it's challenging. It can be, you just have to get through it. Like, I think it's like be tunnel vision when you have to, like walk sometimes. And just get it done and just like trust that it's gonna work itself out and like, you know, and then going back to the real world, like, you know, the distractions, the people, the stuff, you know.
I mean, I literally used to have to wake up before everyone else just to get a little bit of quiet time so that you can hear yourself think. Otherwise it's, you know.
Yeah, I feel like the daydreaming is the one thing that I miss the most. Like for some reason I was like, I think this past year, I've been like in a weird state of anxiety that is just like, it just keeps going and going and going and everything's so dire. And I'm like, I don't, like,
the wishfulness of like, you know, what would happen, a daydream, like, you know, like a story. You know, like,
that is so, so true. That is exactly true. You need to be in this place of being safe and happy and, you know, having a, you know, having the ability to luxury to think about and imagine stuff. And when you're so worried in what's happening around you, it's hard.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, let's change topic. Let's talk about something good. Let's talk about Sister of the Bollywood Bride. So let's talk about the elevator pitch.
Okay. So Sister of the Bollywood Bride is about Mini Kapoor, and she's a teenager. It's basically about a teenager trying to plan a big fat Indian wedding. And you know what? It is a huge project for somebody who's experienced, you know, event planners, wedding planners to undertake. And you're talking about a 17-year-old who's, you know, between in her summer vacation between junior and senior year trying to pull this thing off. But, you know, I love writing this book. I love writing this character because Minnie really loves her sister, and they lost their mom a few years ago. And there's nobody else to help her sister have this wonderful wedding that their mom would definitely have planned had she been alive. And, you know, when you're an immigrant and you lose a parent, you lose your connection to a lot of culture, and you lose your connection to, you know, the way life events would have been planned in your family, because, you know, they are your connection back to your, you know, your heritage and your culture and all of that. And this kid ends up figuring it all out on her own. And people think it's, you know, it's not possible for someone to do that, but I've seen kids who can pull off all kinds of things, and she does. So it's about a teenager planning a big wedding and just trying to come to terms with the grief and of having lost her mother a while ago, which she hadn't processed fully yet, and just bringing a whole community together around her sister.
So let's talk wedding planning. What was your research process like to get the wedding planning part, you know?
So, you know, I didn't have to do any research because this scenario actually happened in our family. So in 2011, Hurricane Irene hit Boston. We don't get a lot of hurricanes. We are not Florida. We don't get them, you know.
Yeah.
So when you're watching the news and this thing is coming up the coast, you're like, yeah, it's, you know, it's going to get to, like, you know, I don't know, Pennsylvania and stop or something, you know. But this thing just kept coming, and it was my sister-in-law's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually was predicted to, you know, land in Boston and really create havoc. And she was having an outdoor wedding and it got canceled. And we actually had to, you know, somehow have completely replan the wedding with a day's notice. So all of that research was there. And while it was happening, I was like, oh my God, this needs to be in a book. This needs to be in a book. Like, somebody has to write this thing, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I should do it.
I love this. I love the real life inspires you, you know, the book. And just like put a 17-year-old to do it.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm like, I know what to do, but, you know, what if it was my daughter who was really young at the time? Like, what if I wasn't here? How would she plan it? And I'm like, oh, she'd be fine. She'd figure it out. People would help, you know. And that's what ends up happening in the book is, you know, she gets help from people, and everybody just sort of gathers and carries her through it.
I love this. And let's chat about Match Made Mindy. Mindy, is there okay, tell us all about it, because actually it's on my TBR, so I wouldn't know from your show.
So Match Made in Mindy is about Simran Sangha, who is she's growing up in New Jersey. She's a teenager, and she comes from a long line of Indian matchmakers. So her mother and her grandmother and her aunts and all the women in her family going back a few generations have been matchmakers. So, and she kind of has that skill. She has that talent to see when people are right for each other, but she doesn't want to get pushed into the family business. She has her own interests, art, and all this other stuff that she wants to figure out. But she and her best friend decide to take the knowledge and, you know, the know-how, and they have this book about matchmaking that was handed down in the family, all the techniques and tips in that book, and turn it into an app. And that's what they do. So they make this app called Matched, and it goes viral in her high school. And it sets people up. It connects people who you would normally not have thought are right for each other, and it creates total chaos. And so, you know, that's where the book goes.
Oh my gosh, I have to add this. Like, you have me at app, you know, teenagers creating an app, and just like, there's like a port, you're sort of like entrepreneurial, like teenagers were like, figure it out. Like, that's kind of like your brand. Like, they're like, they have big projects, have big dreams, or like, you know, make this work.
Yeah. You know, I have faith in young people, actually, honestly. It's amazing. Yeah.
Me too. So what are you working next?
So I have a couple of projects I'm working on next. And one of them is a YA contemporary, and it's also set in the Boston area. And it has, you know, more to do with dance. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's about, you know, somebody whose mother owns a dance school, and it's a really huge classical dance, and with Indian teens is huge. So that's one, and the other one is a fantasy, which is inspired by Indian mythology and history. Ooh. And that's kind of been on the back burner for me for a very long time, and I really mm-hmm. want to dive into it and work on it as soon as I have some free time after this pandemic is over, hopefully, and people go back and stop having conference calls in every corner of the house.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait. So I asked this question to others, just an opportunity for them to recommend books that they have read, books they can stop questioning about. And it can be any type of book. It doesn't have to be like within the genre. Uh-huh. So what would you recommend?
So I read this book, More Than Just a Pretty Face, by Syed Masood, and I loved it. It was awesome. I actually, you know, gave it a blurb and everything. And another book I really like is Ray Bearer by Jordan Ifuko. Yeah. And it has a sequel out now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's amazing. So yeah, these are books that I really loved. And a book that I'm hoping to read starting Tuesday is The Marvelous Mirza Girls by Shiva Kareem. She was my co-organizer for Books for Hope, and she has a launch on Tuesday. Oh my God. I'm dying to read it. So.
Oh my God. And you're launching on the 25th.
So. Yes. Yeah. We have done nothing to promote our books. We've just been working on, you know, getting the fundraiser done.
Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. So tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me on my website, which is nandinibajpai.com, and also on Twitter at nandinibajpai, and on Instagram at nandinirb. So
yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Nandini, for being in the chat.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.